You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The wilderness of North America was not by any means a blank canvas. It was not empty. It was not unclaimed. Every valley, canyon, ridge, cave, and mountain range already had some type of occupant, or at the very least, something was here. And the people who lived here knew it well enough to speak cautiously when the subject arose. Among the Cherokee, there are detailed accounts of the Nunahi, which is a race of beings who lived inside of the mountains that, according to legend, could open up like doors. And the word Nunahi roughly translates to the people who live anywhere.
You have entered the 21st century dystopian portal. Welcome to confusion, welcome to question, and welcome to clarity. The life is in the blood.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the 21CD podcast. As always, I'm your ghost, John. Thank you so much for all of the support that I've seen pouring forth from you guys, all the shares. We've gotten about 400 followers these past couple weeks, which is a huge increase compared to what I'm used to. As always, all of my links are in every description of the video. I do have a buy me a coffee right now. I probably go through about two pots of coffee a day. So if you'd like to buy me a cup, you can do it there. Also on my Instagram, I post occasionally. I have a Substack, I have a Spotify, and I have audio only platforms as well. If you're trying to save some battery on your phone or whatever while you're listening. Anyway, thank you guys for your support in these weird times. And let's get right into it. One of my favorite topics: what the heck is going on in the national parks? Long before the idea of the United States even existed. Before the Park Service, before the frontier, before the first European ever even set eyes on the Rockies, allegedly. The wilderness of North America was not by any means a blank canvas. It was not empty. It was not unclaimed. Every valley, canyon, ridge, cave, and mountain range already had some type of of occupant, or at the very least, something was here. And the people who lived here knew it well enough to speak cautiously when the subject arose. The modern fantasy of untouched wilderness, of endless forests waiting to be explored, that's pretty much a political invention that the colonizer came up with just to feel better about their sins when they came through and exterminated and removed all of the people that were here. And the people who walked these lands for thousands of years before colonization did not view the wilderness as just another place for recreation. It was a living system filled with personality and intelligence. It was a place that could help you or it could destroy you. A place that was populated by beings who were older than the arrival of humankind to this place itself. And this is the truth that most Americans these days never learn. And indeed, as we go forth in the way that we're going forth, you know, we don't learn the history of our land anymore. We don't respect the people that came here before. We don't value history like we used to, even though they used to tell us that history repeats itself. Now they kind of just don't seem to believe that anymore, unfortunately. But this truth that most Americans never learn is that nearly every major national park in America occupies land that indigenous tribes considered spiritually hazardous, restricted, or even outright forbidden, as is the case with like the Superstition Mountains. And those designations weren't based just on superstition. They were based on experiences that they had there, things that they saw there, experiences that would be marked on walls and spoken about for thousands of years afterwards. Among the Cherokee, there are detailed accounts of the Nunahi, which is a race of beings who lived inside of the mountains that, according to legend, could open up like doors. And the word Nunahi roughly translates to the people who live anywhere. It's a name carrying kind of unnerving implications, if you ask me. They're not bound by the normal geography that humans understand. They appear in fields, they appear in forests, they're on the mountaintops, they're anywhere they want to be at any time that they want to be there. It's just here one moment and gone the next, often without footprints, without noise, without any kinds of warnings. And that really, you know, it sounds like an interdimensional being, doesn't it? It sounds like something that exists on a different type of plane than humanity. And descriptions vary, of course, but most stories agree that they look almost human, but their presence produces an uneasiness that is very strange. It's their expressions hold something that are almost too serene, too poised, too unnatural. They're ancient. Their clothing is unfamiliar and neither Europeans nor tribal in style. Their invitation to join them, which is often extended to hunters and wanderers and children, which is interesting when it comes to missing 411 cases, is irresistible, but often fatal to ordinary people. And people taken by the Nunahi disappear completely, only to reappear years later, unchanged, without aging, without memory of the interval. We have spoken about some of those situations on this channel before where people enter into cave systems, they come across some kind of strange civilization, and years go by, and then they come back out onto the earth as if nothing happened, but alas, years have gone by. And these stories predate any American missing person report by centuries. And they map almost perfectly onto these modern 411 clusters in the Smoky Mountains and other places.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Across the continent, in the dense forests of the Pacific Northwest, the Salish and other tribes warned travelers about the Stick Indians as well. And we talked about them a couple weeks ago when I went camping. And they're these tall, thin forest beings with an eerie mastery of mimicry, kind of like the skinwalker, right? Their whistles would lead people off paths. Their voices imitated loved ones. Their footsteps can be heard circling camps, but no shape ever emerges from the tree line. The Stick Indians also don't attack like regular predators, like your wolves, your mountain lions, your bears. They disorient and they lead people deeper and deeper into these dense forests until they're hopelessly lost. And sometimes the victim is found alive, confused, stripped of clothing, dehydrated. Other times only their possessions turn up in folded and orderly piles, just like in some of those missing 411 cases that we hear about today. Olympic National Park, which is known for some of the highest missing person rates in the system, sits squarely atop this territory and is once considered too spiritually volatile to casually enter, especially by people who knew the history of the place at all. Modern hikers, of course, shrug off these stories as myths. We've got races and stuff that run through the parks. We've got long hiking trails like the Appalachian Trail and all that kind of stuff. But indigenous people had really no reason to fabricate warnings about terrain that fed and supported them. Their survival depended on understanding the landscape intimately. So if they warned a place was dangerous, most likely it wasn't just out of superstition. It was out of some kind of experience that they had there. And now we say this from this perspective of thousands of years later, but there are still strange missing cases, and it is highly bizarre to me that I encountered so much difficulty trying to find an exact number of people who are missing in the parks, and that number doesn't exist. And is there no record of these missing people and how many there are and when they went missing and where they went missing. They straight up admit that they don't keep track. And to me, that's very bizarre. So of course, if you have a specific instance, you know, like you can go ahead and be like, well, I'm looking for so-and-so, and you can pinpoint the exact time that so-and-so went missing, what they did to investigate it and stuff like that, and whether or not so-and-so was ever found, some of the details of the case, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're actually trying to study in the macro way, where you're like, how many people have gone missing in Yellowstone? What is the timeline of them going missing? Where are the most frequent places that people go missing in Yellowstone or any of the national parks? If you try to do the whole vision, the whole park, the whole national park system, how many, how often, how frequently, where, why, that kind of information isn't even tracked. They don't have a network of intelligence on that. And they straight up admit that. That's really bizarre in 2025 when we try to track everything. You know, they try to track global warming, for goodness sake. They try to, you know, they try to track the ozone layer and all this kind of stuff. But you're not, they track the particles that move on Mars, but you're not going to track how many people are going missing in the national parks. That's just suspicious, is what it is. It's suspicious. Now, the Navajo, the Ut people, some of these cave-dwelling tribes, they have stories of skinwalkers, and skinwalkers often dominate popular imagination. Obviously, my logo is a skinwalker, but the deep Navajo and Ut oral traditions speak just as often about cave guardians, cave spirits, and beings that live between openings in the earth. And these creatures were not ghosts or demons, but something kind of closer to a separate species altogether. They were entities that used the subterranean world as their literal realm. And these stories echo across all sorts of tribes. They just have different names for them, but there's stories across all these tribes of tall figures that emerge from cave mouths, pale creatures, shadows that move without light, whistles echoing from underground, the sense of being watched from inside dark crevices, bones that are deep inside caves that shouldn't necessarily be there, relics that are deep inside caves that shouldn't necessarily be there, creatures that go behind a tree in one form and then come out from the side of the other tree in a different form entirely. Mammoth Cave National Park, home to, which is the largest cave system on Earth, by the way. It's diabolical. It's in Kentucky. If you've never been there, you should at least just go look at it. It's built squarely on ground where both indigenous stories and early European explorers reported humanoid shapes in torchlight, footsteps behind them, and feeling this kind of invisible pursuer behind them at all times. I've done a lot of cave diving in my youth. I grew up in Missouri, where there's just a shit ton of nasty, dirty cliff caves. And so I've done a lot of cave stuff, and it's not necessarily weird to feel followed in caves, but these mammoth caves where you have caverns that open up and you can house thousands of people inside of them, they definitely have a different vibe. And like I said before, at the parks, there's no park ranger today who will publicly admit the number of people who actually go missing in those caves. And you have to ask yourself why. The Hopi stories of the ant people, which are often misrepresented by UFO enthusiasts, in my opinion, are older than any modern conspiracy. And according to Hopi cosmology, the ant people sheltered early humans underground during cycles of global destruction, whether it be fire or ice or flood. And these beings are depicted with elongated heads, narrow bodies, and deep black eyes. People think of them as the Greys. And the Hopi didn't really see them as monsters or gods, but something closer to an ancient subterranean civilization. This is one of the reasons that I don't believe in aliens the same way that everybody else believes. I don't think they're coming from outer space to take us or to experiment on our buttholes or anything like that. I think that they have already been here for one reason or another. And whether they are descendants of the Nephilim, whether they're a different species altogether, whether they're a completely different faction of supernatural beings, I don't know. But I don't think they arrived on a flying saucer. And the ancients didn't either. The Hopi don't describe them as extinct even to this day. The old story suggests that the ant people still live under the surface, and they emerge only rarely, usually during transitions of world ages. So maybe that's why at certain times we see them more than at other times. Grand Canyon National Park, for instance, contains multiple restricted caves that are allegedly associated with these Hopi legends, and it's kind of conspicuous that they are not allowed to be visited. There's a lot of off-limit zones in the Grand Canyon National Park that don't feel like they should be off-limit zones. It doesn't really have an explanation. And it seems like it would be easy to give an explanation. Everybody's going to have their own opinion on these type of things. You know, like some people really are just going to believe that all of these missing people cases and all this kind of stuff can be attributed to bears and wolves and wild animals, scavenger types. They fell off a cliff, got carried away by the river, whatever. You know, they fell into a cave system and were never found again. That's like, I think plenty of that kind of stuff happens. I was just reading this case about a missing person yesterday, a guy who was 78 years old, and he was dropped off near his home one night in California, some kind of remote location in California. This was like last week or something. And then the authority, he just went missing, and they found some of his belongings. And now the authorities are saying that, yeah, he was probably dragged off by a bear and like stuff like that. And I do think that there are a fair share of those cases. Like that stuff does happen, but it doesn't attribute to everything. And a lot of these stories that we're referring to in episodes like this are stories that have existed for thousands of years, and not only existed, but persisted. They continue to be told. They continue to stick around despite all of the modern technology, the drones, the radar, the sonar, all of the modern technology. There's still so much unexplainable stuff going on. You know, the fact that we don't keep records, all this kind of stuff that do make the significance of these stories kind of chilling. And it's I think it's simpler than people give it credit for. Where modern Americans see camping destinations, indigenous tribes saw borders, border lines, if you will, where human authority kind of ended and a different type of authority began. And again, too, like if we're going to play devil's advocate, some of this could be stories that they spread throughout the land so that enemy tribes would be afraid to invade them and stuff like that, but not all of them. And considering how important oral traditions are, oral history and whatnot are to these native people, those stories, if they were just temporary stories to keep tribes from invading, would eventually fade away. And you would get to the point where they would also have stories about how, yeah, those were mainly stories that we used to scare away people. But they don't tell those stories. These weren't always just lands to conquer. They were lands to respect. They were lands to treat carefully, to occasionally avoid entirely. European colonizers obviously ignored those warnings, and a lot of them went missing too. There's buried treasures all over the place from Spanish explorers who just, entire units of troops would just completely go missing, and those treasures are still out there. There were places that were considered places to completely avoid. And the modern U.S. government, in my opinion, studied them. And instead of heeding the warnings, they did something even stranger. They fenced off the land and they renamed it. They called it a preservation. They called it a national park because there wasn't really anything they could do about it. It was outside of their control. Think about it. When humanity starts to expand, and they're expanding and expanding and expanding, and through, let's just say, the power of God, through the power of what is right, through humanity's brute force, we do purge out the Nephilim like in the old days. We do kill off a lot of monsters like in the old days, and they have fewer and fewer places to hide. That backs them into a proverbial corner. They are forced to then dig themselves in, trench themselves in, and they are possibly at their most dangerous and powerful in that moment, just like a cornered beast. I think a lot of these national parks are the perpetual and the metaphorical corners that these beasts are in in these modern times, but also they can't be erratically or completely eradicated because they are spiritual beings. They have a place on Earth, but as humans expand, just like any other species, they are forced into some kind of hiding. They are forced to change. They are forced to adapt. And some can integrate into society and some can't. Some are still wild beings that exist in the wild. The tribes knew better back then. They knew that you can preserve the trees, but not necessarily what moves between the trees. So when the United States began to stretch itself across the continent, it found more than just open land waiting for settlement. Early explorers even discovered territories where animals would react strangely, where compasses would misbehave, where sound refused to travel normally, and where the forest lines seemed to conceal something. Native tribes warned for centuries that these places belonged to forces that were here far beyond them, far older than memory. And the government, of course, was unconcerned with any of these tribal superstitions, so they entered anyway, and almost immediately they began losing people. The earliest accounts came through military logs, when cavalry units reported whole nights where the woods seemed to hum as though something invisible was moving between the trees. Hunting parties sent to find food for frontier forts would vanish, or they would be found decapitated or completely obliterated.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Sometimes there would be no sign of a struggle at all. They just were completely gone. During one winter campaign, an entire detachment riding through the Bitterroot Mountains broke formation after a column of smoke appeared directly in front of them, only to dissipate like mist when they approached. There was a journal entry that was found that said the men refused to advance. They claimed they heard voices under the earth. And no one at the Department of War at that time wanted to deal with that kind of stuff, right? They just kept coming. This was land to be conquered. We had to get out. We had to get the natives out. We had to get the colonists in. We had to establish civilization in these places. And throughout time, you see that that is the main focus of man. Establish civilization. Become stronger as a civilized unit. And that's exactly what the mission was. Surveyors, which are those guys who are tasked with mapping the boundaries of an expanding nation, often carried notebooks that were filled with bizarre observations. There was one federal geologist who was working near the headwaters of the Missouri River, and he recorded finding a set of human footprints that stretched for nearly a mile through fresh snow. And the stride was, he said, was too far and too long for any adult man. The impressions were unusually deep, as though the person weighed significantly more than they should. At the end of the trail, the prints simply stopped. They didn't fade. They weren't lost. They just stopped mid-stride as though the person had stepped cleanly off the surface of the earth. These accounts were not made public a lot of the time. They couldn't have panic spread. It was often attributed to delusions from being alone for too long or being in strange, unknown places too long. They were filed under notes like unusual terrain events and stuff like that. But the patterns emerged, and it was one that the government found deeply inconvenient, in my opinion, that certain regions of the wilderness did not behave like ordinary land, that certain regions seemed to take people. So they just kind of ignored them and fenced those places off. And then came the Yellowstone expeditions. Before Yellowstone became a national park, it was a legendary dead zone. Indigenous accounts from the Crow, the Shoshone, the Blackfeet, they all warned of thermal areas inhabited by beings who mimicked voices and lured unwary people toward vent fields. And now we have these all fenced off and decked out, and they're considered spectacles, but initially, it was said that miners who wandered too far from established trails were said to vanish without a trace. A few survivors insisted that they saw figures watching from steam columns, and they were these tall, human-like forms that dissolved when approached. By the time the Cook-Folsom expedition entered the region in 1869, the stories were already circulating among the trappers there. And the men tried to dismiss them. They didn't want to believe that this was some kind of spiritual war zone. But the strangeness of the place made that dismissal very hard, very difficult. And one diary, which was not included in the official survey report, described an evening where the party heard what sounded like a man calling for help from the direction of a geyser basin. And they shouted back repeatedly, but the voice only answered once more before falling silent. So when they investigated the next morning, they found mud around the geyser that had churned as though something large had moved through it during the night. Again, how many of these stories can you say are true? How many can you say are false if they're just the journals of explorers, miners, trappers, people from the region? It's one of those things where you have to hear these stories and you kind of have to compare them to other stories that you've heard. That's at least how I do it. And if you notice a trend, then sure, maybe we should talk about the trend. But as for each individual story, people lie, you know? People tell tall tales. People tell stories around the campfire. There's always the opportunity for some of these stories to be false. But when there's so many of these types of stories, that's when it becomes truly interesting to me. One of the most disturbing incidents was the disappearance of Truman Everts during the 1870 Washburn Expedition. History often paints Everts as an inept traveler who simply lost his bearings. But his rescuers give a different picture. They found him emaciated, trembling, barefoot, completely naked. His clothing had been removed deliberately, not torn off of him. His skin bore long, straight scratches that looked more like the marks of thin fingers than of claws. And when he recovered enough to speak, he avoided describing what stalked him. One of his companions later said that Everts insisted the forest followed him, but those notes never appeared in the official publications. Not long after these incidents, Yellowstone was designated a national park, of course. It was the first in the world. And to most Americans, it appeared to be a triumph of environmental stewardship, right? But to those who knew the true documented events, the decision looked more like a sort of sealing off, a formal kind of quarantine of land that could not be allowed to fall under private ownership. Now, I'm by no means one of those guys who's kind of like an anti-preservationist, right? I'm not against people who hug trees. I'm not against people who want these vast expanses of land to remain untouched or anything. But if there really is some type of monster out here, some type of spiritual race, if you will, some whether it's one type or thousands or hundreds of types, whatever, even if for whatever reason you have that you want to fight against, let's just say you know, Trump's most recent ideas to take a bunch of national park land and use it for mining or for lumber or whatever. I always find these moments really interesting because for all of these years, we've been so focused on preserving it, right? It's been one of the treasures of North America is the fact that we have these national parks and people come from all over the world to see them. And yet once in a while, the government is like, okay, well, I think we can go in there and we can destroy thousands of acres of it now. Why do you think that is? And don't you think it's interesting, obviously, for the mineral components and stuff like that? That's the obvious answer. But what about is there a conversation to be had about the pushback that people get from that the government gets from the general population, from the people themselves being like, no, we must preserve the parks. We must protect the parks. And if these land masses are literally used as reservations for spiritual beings, and you have all of these people sort of confirming, unbeknownst to them, that these locations should be preserved, is that a form of spiritual warfare? It's just a conversation. It's just a question that's in my mind. But is that a form of spiritual warfare? So that these places continue to be untouched, unexplored, unmined. I don't know. Because what it does is it turns the population against the government that would eradicate seemingly suspicious creatures. And again, I'm not saying that I want to go eradicate suspicious creatures. Far from it. I love the national parks. I love camping in them. I love visiting them. I love studying them from afar. I think they're amazing and beautiful, and I think every inch of God's earth is special. But it's just a question that comes up in my mind. It's interesting how the entire population, many of these people who never even go out into the national parks or at a minimum don't go very deep into them at all. They'll go to the visitor center and they'll buy a keychain, but they're not marching miles into the wilderness that they would, which is where the government would inevitably mine or deforest, etc., a place they would never even go. A place that the government wouldn't even have to ask permission to destroy, and they still wouldn't know about it ever. It's not that. It's the fact that the people just come together to protect this realm, and they understand that it must be protected. If there is some kind of spiritual being in this realm, it does feel a little bit like spiritual warfare, kind of like how they weaponize the ozone layer against us and stuff like that. Obviously, there's a firmament. It says there's a firmament in the Bible, but they try to mitigate that. They try to call it the ozone layer, and they try to say stuff like, oh, well, we can't penetrate this, or we can't penetrate that, or because cows are farting and we're eating too much McDonald's, we're damaging this or that in the sky, in the layer. You know, I say the ozone layer because to me, science just invents a bunch of stuff a lot of the time to make us feel trapped, but to me, this protection of the national park sometimes, the national park system falls into that same type of realm in a very earthbound way. That's all I'm saying. I don't even know if I got my point across, but there you go. Anyway, yeah, but the establishment of Yellowstone was followed by a string of strange choices. Yosemite became a national park after decades of reports from settlers who claimed to see these tall figures moving near Bridalville Creek, always disappearing just before being clearly seen, of course. Mount Rainier's designation followed a series of climbing parties who vanished on clear days, only for gear to be found in places that it didn't seem like any human could have climbed to without ropes. Crater Lake was protected shortly after a rash of drownings in perfectly calm water, all of which native tribes attributed to some kind of malevolent lake spirit. Each time a park was created, there was some kind of murmur beneath the public narrative. It was a quiet acknowledgement from those close to the decision-making process that the land was easier to control under federal jurisdiction. It was easier to patrol, easier to restrict, it was easier to hide. Seen as a whole, the park system begins to resemble not really a conservation movement, but more of like a defensive perimeter or a reservation, like, you know, the natives have been forced to live on and stuff like that. But the early park rangers weren't ecologists. Many were former soldiers. They were scouts. They did not have college degrees or fancy little tools. A lot of them were Indian agents. They were men chosen not for their botanical knowledge, but for their ability to operate in lands where civilization holds no authority. They were heavily armed, they were heavily trained, and they were instructed to treat certain regions as off limits even when no public explanation existed. I think that because of how dumb modern people are, they think that these were like forest rangers who were out here in their green polos and their stupid hats, and they were like wandering around making minimum wage, like just there generally for customer service. But no, these were hard men, a lot of the time murderers, a lot of the time experienced in battle in the harshest regions. They had seen their friends be killed by natives. They had fought bears. They're like badasses. They weren't just these regular dudes who had to tuck in their shirt or they got a write-up. These were real hard asses. And stories from early rangers that have been passed privately to family members decades later tell of orders to stay away from certain locations. Why would some of those same locations be locations that natives used to tell people to stay away from? It's just kind of like one more correlation between the past and the present and locations that we're allegedly not supposed to go to. By the mid-20th century, the government's attitude toward these locations hardened even further. What were once sort of subtle restrictions became more like actual military presence. Special forces began conducting mysterious training exercises in national forests. These operations occurred at night. Helicopters would fly through certain areas without lights. Or if they found an explorer who drifted too far, they would, you know, we see these videos even today. Helicopters appearing out of nowhere, deep in the wilderness. Locals reported hearing bursts of automatic gunfire and seeing uniformed men moving in tight formation through the forests. And sometimes these exercises occurred after disappearances. Sometimes they preceded them. A retired army officer later would claim that these missions weren't training at all. They were containment responses. They were triggered when something breached some kind of boundary or when too many civilians stumbled too close to maybe a place they shouldn't be, or perhaps whatever is in there is starting to expand outward. I don't think we should say that the military is preparing for war in these situations. I think there is already a secret war going on and has been for a very long time, because what the natives would protect, the government would wage war upon. That's what I think.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
By the early 20th century, the federal government had pieced together the same kind of truth that indigenous tribes had known for millennia, allegedly. And that was that some lands are not our lands. Some lands may, in fact, host forces that are intelligent, elusive, territorial, that don't necessarily negotiate through diplomacy, but through disappearance. And I asked my wife a question the other day. I was like, how bad do you think it would have to get on the planet before the animals themselves and nature itself just destroyed us? Like, if we tried to cut down every single tree, would deer start attacking us? Would they come out of the forest and just start randomly killing our kids? Like, would the birds all of a sudden start harassing us every time we went outside, to the point where it was literally impossible to be outside at all because squirrels and rats and raccoons and everything would just develop such feral qualities that they would literally attack us? And it wasn't long after that discussion that I started seeing all of these news articles about how in Japan they have an epidemic of bears right now. The army has had to move in to exterminate bears because the bears are moving out of the forests in Japan and attacking people and killing them. And there have been over 100 different instances now of people being injured. And this was like 2 weeks ago, so the number has most definitely climbed since then. But there were people who were being literally killed by these bears as well. And then I saw other articles about how even the deer are populating to a point where we can't really contain them, and here in my state and stuff like that. And I think a lot of that could be at play in these national parks too. I think that the animals themselves will just operate on a more kind of spiritual level. I think that they can be manipulated by spiritual beings, and that may give them a more, if you want to say feral, that's fine, but they are at their most natural form, and that natural form is to not only sustain their own bodies, their survival, but part of that survival is protecting where they live, their environment. And so if they see something that challenges the longevity of their lifetime in an area, they might just behave like an animal wouldn't ordinarily behave and just take you out. And that could also be an element of spiritual warfare in these far removed natural environments. And so it's possible that the government, unable to defeat these forces, unwilling to really publicize this because this is a source of income, etc., and we can't show that there's monsters in our interior, they did what governments do when they can't win. They drew lines on a map and they declared them national treasures. They created parks. And it wasn't for our public enjoyment per se. It was for the maintenance of something that was ancient. The modern mind loves randomness, and a lot of this seems random. After all, we don't have a definitive answer. People often accuse me of waffling about on this show because I never provide them with an answer, but the truth is, that's the thing about mysteries. There is no definitive answer, just a bunch of ideas. It comforts people to believe bad things happen without meaning, that the wilderness just occasionally swallows the unwary the same way the ocean does. It's a tragedy of probabilities, not necessarily of intent. And that's comforting to people because that means that it's more than likely just all accident and there's nothing actually there targeting anybody. But the missing person cases in America's national parks almost resist randomness. They defy it. They kind of form shapes and trends. They echo one another. They seem to obey rules that no mountain lion, no serial killer, no weather anomaly could possibly follow. And the deeper you read into some of these missing 411 data sets, the stripping of sensationalism, the stripping of Hollywood, the stripping even of the interpretation itself, if you do that, the more the disappearances begin to feel like the signature of something intelligent. Like there's something else going on here. There's something that is ancient. There's something that is more powerful than us at play. Something that doesn't abide by the same rituals that humanity does. And it has a kind of very specific sort of hunger beyond just what a mountain lion or a bear or any other predator might have. And a lot of people like David Pilates. A lot of people don't like David Pilates. If you go to the Lore Lodge, they will absolutely tear him apart. But if you go to Amazon Prime, they worship him as a sort of god. So it's, you know, I speak about him from a place of I know that he elaborates on some stuff, but I also know that a lot of the cases actually are real and actually did happen the way that he describes them. There's just a little bit of elaboration involved, but I think that there's a certain level of integrity he has and a certain level of sensationalism that has been applied to his work. But he does expose certain patterns that are entirely pulled from real search and rescue records, and they do invite a sort of single, inescapable conclusion, and that's that whatever is taking people is not random, it's not improvisational, and it may not necessarily even be human. One of the most chilling consistencies in missing 411 cases is the terrain. Again and again, cases clutter around granite, particularly massive boulder fields, glacial outcrops, scree-covered ridges, and to the untrained eye, these do appear as just chaotic rubble, but to geologists, they are remnants of sort of an older earth, ancient fractures from deep fault lines, displaced monoliths that mark routes where the ground itself was sheared open, where you could say the waters from the deep poured forth, just like in the flood accounts and stuff like that. Indigenous traditions do recognize these areas as spiritually hazardous almost all of the time. The Salish, the Kootenai tribes, they describe them as the walking grounds of giants. And why do you think that is? Don't we talk about how the giants often may be speculated to have survived by escaping inside the earth? So would it not make sense, at least from a myth and legend and lore perspective, that these ancient fractures could be the locations where giants might propagate? I don't know. I'm just a guy here speaking about it open-mindedly. But the Cherokee spoke of mountainside openings as well that were used by the Nunahai. The Hopi, they warned that shadowed cracks in canyon walls were the breathing places of the under ones. And so you have these correlations across a wide range of tribes. When modern hikers vanish in these very exact places, agencies always attribute the disappearances to falls. But if that were true, shouldn't bodies be found? Locating a fallen human is not very difficult, especially if there's only one way to look, and that's down. Gravity usually delivers a body to a predictable place. But granite fields appear to swallow people in a way that makes rescue teams uncomfortable. It makes finding the fallen very difficult, if not impossible. Trained trackers describe searching these areas as extremely difficult because you can't follow any footprints into this maze that appears to rearrange itself. Dogs lose the trail instantly. Thermal cameras detect heat signatures that blink in and out. They never hold still long enough to identify. More disturbing than that is the psychological effect. Rescuers report a sense of being watched, followed, or lured. Gear doesn't work the way it should work. Radios are cutting out. Compasses are swinging unpredictably. The weather changes very dramatically. Fog descends all of a sudden. This is not an ordinary terrain. And if you're one of those people who believes that, like, crystals and whatnot have some kind of power, I mean, then you've got to give this a little bit of credence as well. Not only that, but now with all these developments in modern tech where we can store memory inside rocks and inside crystals and stuff, that whole conspiracy theory about the stones remembering and the stones themselves holding data, I don't even know where that fits in, but I think it does fit in somehow. The rocks might be alive in some kind of weird way. And this is the first time that I've really spoken about that. But I think the Earth might be kind of alive in more ways than we realize. And the way that we are now trying to use natural elements for technological abilities, like storing data in water, storing data in rocks, storing data in crystals, using crystals in graphic cards, all this kind of stuff, I think there's a lot more that science, if you want to call them that, these magicians of the modern times, these wizards and warlocks, I think there's a lot more going on than they're telling us. Not just in these national parks, but within nature in general. I think they know that it's far more powerful than us. And all that we could ever really hope to do is exist within it without it consuming us completely. After all, Adam was a shepherd. Jesus was a shepherd. We were sort of given nature, but nature has to be controlled in a certain way. Not destroyed, not eradicated, but man was in charge of administering over nature. That does not mean that if that task is not performed effectively, nature won't begin to try to administer power over man. So from a pattern analysis standpoint, these granite fields do behave like, again, a type of threshold, a type of boundary. Something operates near them, something that understands these locations differently than we do. Another constant, missing person incidents almost always coincide with abrupt weather change. Not the normal unpredictability of mountain climates. No, these are storms that materialize unnaturally fast, fog banks that roll in like curtains being drawn, wind gusts that rise without prelude. Search and rescue veterans find that this pattern is very unsettling. It suggests a certain timing, a certain coordination. And when you now understand in the modern age that the government can control the weather, they literally, like a few years ago, this was still a conspiracy theory. And just within the past 3 to 5 years, they've just basically confirmed all of our conspiracy theories as true. And they did it in the most undramatic way possible. They just said, yup, we can control the weather. Yup, we don't know what these things in the skies are. Yup, we don't have records of what goes on in the national parks. Yup, you guys are right. Yup. We do have laser beams that can fall out of the sky and torch entire cities. Yep, we do. Uh-huh. And nobody even bats an eyelid at it because it's like, oh, well, I guess they're not hiding it, so it's not that bad of a reality after all, because even though yesterday it was a horrifying conspiracy theory that might explain all these mysterious things, now it's just true, and they're not even trying to hide it, so I guess, mystery solved. But no, what comes after the mystery is solved? When you find out who the perpetrator is, the mystery is solved. Now you have to decide what to do about it. And so these missing 411 cases where the weather is changing dramatically, I do believe that a lot of that can be natural. I also believe that can be an organized sacrificial moment. And you can do with that knowledge what you will. I also believe that whatever is within these forests demands a certain amount of sacrifice, a certain amount of reverence. And if the weather is going to go ahead and just impede the process of anybody understanding what's going on, that doesn't really shock me. That's just covering the trail of evidence. There's documented cases where a clear blue sky turns to blizzard conditions in minutes. Fog materializing the exact moment a witness gets lost or loses sight of his buddy or whatever. Winds that drown out screams that should be audible for miles. And then when the weather clears, the forest is just different, as if whatever passed through it has already left. And once again, in folklore, this correlation is ancient. So we have these stories of this happening in the ancient times. We have these stories of this happening in the modern times, which might defeat my idea of sometimes this being a sacrifice that is aided by government technology. But in the folklore, the Salish stick Indians were said to hide themselves in fog that was considered borrowed. The Inuit people tell of spirits who travel within the storms themselves. The Algonquin people from my area feared sudden silence in the forest because it was usually a precursor of being taken. So I don't think that weather is just a backdrop in these stories. I think it is a literal tool, both supernatural and technological. And then there's the victims. And the victim types are usually where a lot of people lose interest. But because they're like, oh, well, they're usually kids or old people who just get lost, who shouldn't even be out there in the first place. But it's not just children and old people. It's also experienced mountaineers who are found miles away from their last known position under conditions that no human could survive. You know, they say they're going to one spot and they're found 30 miles away. Or evidence of them is found 30 miles away or whatever. A child disappears from a lakeshore. The parents turn their back for seconds. And when found days later, the child is perched at 12,000 feet, hydrated, uninjured, and incapable of explaining how he got there. A hunter with decades of wilderness experience vanishes from a well-worn trail. His boots later found neatly placed beside a tree. Laces untied. No tracks. A woman disappears during a trail run. Search dogs track her scent uphill, a near vertical climb, and then lose it in the middle of a clearing. And the official explanation for these types of stories are always the same. Disorientation, panic, they fell. But none of these match human behavior. Listen. When I was in the Army, I went through a certain type of training where we were just dropped in the middle of this massive expanse of wilderness and given a map and a compass and basically told to survive and find these specific locations. And when you find these specific locations, there would be a little tent there and there would just be one special forces guy sitting in each little tent and they would mark your map and or whatever and they would be like, okay, there you go, you're good, on to the next one.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I was lost at one point during this operation, this training. And I'm telling you, it never occurred to me to just start running in a panic. It never occurred to me that the best idea would be to just completely take off all of my clothes, run around naked, and just get as far away from my location as I possibly am in any direction whatsoever. It never occurred to me to do any sort of erratic behavior like that. And I know not everybody operates the same as everybody else, but when you take some of these missing 411 cases and you actually analyze them with an eye that is looking for the real truth and not just trying to explain what happened so you can fall asleep at night, It's more than disorientation. It's more than just panic. It feels like people are selected. It feels like people are transported in a weird way. It feels like something depositing them in places they normally wouldn't be able to reach. Missing 411 cases read less like accidents a lot of the time and more like abductions, not the extraterrestrial kind, but the folkloric kind. I love this stuff. This is one of my favorite topics. You guys didn't really like the pirate crusader topic, but this is another one of my favorite ones. And believe it or not, what I wrote for this, what we got through today, was only about a third of what I wrote for this episode. But I just get so wound up and excited. So we're going to stop here for now. I do have more. Be sure to comment below if this is one of your favorite topics too, or a topic you want to hear more about, because I do have a lot more to go on this. We didn't even get to the whole cave system concept that I wanted to get to, how a lot of missing people are above these cave systems. That kind of goes into the whole goblins concept, beings living underground concept. What is that show? That show that everybody thought was crazy on Amazon. Hellier, that doesn't get into the Hellier concept. I've got all sorts of ideas when it comes to this type of stuff. And so, yeah, comment below if you want more. Thank you guys for following. Thank you guys for liking and sharing. Be sure to hit the little bell if you guys like me. And remember, the life is in the blood. Keep it inside you, because the life is in the blood. Love you.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.